the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.
I greet all of you on this second Sunday of the Great Lent, and I also extend my greetings to your family and friends who are celebrating Easter in the Christian West on this day. It's a beautiful gospel about the paralytic, and we get to read this gospel later in the year. I want to focus my comments a little bit on St. Gregory Palamas and try not to get too technical, but I think it's a beautiful thing to contemplate as well, who Gregory Palamas was and what he did. And this particular Sunday of Lent is often called the second Sunday of Orthodoxy, or the second victory of Orthodoxy, because of the teachings and the life of Gregory Palamas. Since he was born in about the, I didn't look it up, I'm sorry, I'm going to say about 1296, 97, somewhere in that area. And then he dies in about 1359, 1360. He doesn't live to be an old man. From his youth, he always wanted to live the monastic life, and he went to Vatopedi Monastery on Mount Athos. He was at another one, and I forgot the name of it, but two monasteries on Mount Athos as a young man. And there he learned what is known as the Hesychast tradition. I'll get into that later with Barlaam. This idea that a man can be so steeped in prayer that they experience a different realm. In this case, the Hesychasts experience what they call the uncreated light of the transfiguration of Jesus. Seeing that light that is not created. There was a Greek named Barlaam from southern Italy. They think he was Orthodox, but educated in the West. And he had... And there were others, not just Barlaam, but he's kind of the main one. He argued against the Hesychasts. He said, there's no way that a human being can experience God at that level. In fact, Barlaam even went so far as to say, how do you even know that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father? God is unknowable. God is untouchable. God cannot be known by man. And of course, Barlaam was steeped in the Western tradition, which still exists. And that in the Western understanding of things, theology and prayer have been separated. We call it scholasticism. And Barlaam said, deep, intense prayer, you're wasting your time. What you should be doing is learning about God, theology. And Palamas and his followers said, no. Education is good, but the true theologian is the one who prays. And that's our tradition in the Christian East. What was it that Palamas was doing on Mount Athos? I'm just presuming, I've never, or if I've read, I've forgotten, but I'm just presuming it would be days on end of complete stillness, reciting the Jesus Prayer, and nothing else comes into your mind, and being that way for days. That utter stillness and nothing entering our minds except their breathing and the Jesus Prayer. Now that's a different idea that exists in the West. For example, Western Christians who pray the rosary, for example, a very pious custom for sure in the Roman Catholic Church, and maybe other groups, I don't know, maybe I don't imagine so. But we'll just say the Roman Catholic Church, a very pious practice they have of praying the rosary. But in the resuscitation of the rosary in the Roman Catholic Church, there's a meditation on various mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries, the joyful mysteries, the glorious mysteries. And I can't, it's been a while. I think Pope John Paul II even introduced another series of mysteries. Maybe that was the glorious mysteries. I'd have to go look all that up. But in either case, in the Latin world, this idea that there's a focus or a meditation, a visualization of various mysteries of Jesus Christ, where in the Christian East, we don't have that practice. It's a practice of stilling the mind and only focus on what is actually being said. I remember my dearly departed Archpriest Anthony Carbo. We had this one discussion one time when he went to Mount Athos, and he ran into some crazy guy running through the woods. They have lots of them on Mount Athos. And he stopped him and he said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I am praying the Jesus prayer." And then you have to know Father Anthony, this is just the way he spoke to people. "How long have you been here?" And the man said, "I've been here 27 years. "And what have you accomplished?" And he said, "Well, I'm trying to say the Jesus prayer perfectly. How are you doing?" He goes, "Not very well. I haven't been able to say it once in 27 years perfectly." Meaning, without thinking of anything else. Very powerful story, very powerful. He probably ran into a very powerful man running around the woods there on Mount Athos. The point is, brothers and sisters, there are people in this world who have such incredible, deep prayer that they get to experience things that you and I may not even be able to imagine. I can intellectually talk about the uncreated light, but that's all I'm able to do. I have no experience with that. And I'm just assuming none of you do. If you do, I don't know about it. That's okay. But to be able to get to a point where we get to know God, not by His nature, because that is unknowable, but by His energies, like the uncreated light. And I kind of liken it, and I didn't make this up, I've heard this, so you might hear this somewhere else also. It's like the sun. I don't know what it's like to be on the sun. It's a 10,000 degree ball of plasma, and it produces its own light, its own radiation. It's very dangerous. And yet we can feel the effects of the sun. We're protected by the Earth's atmosphere so that we don't get the harmful radiation. But if you've been sunburned, you've gotten some of the harmful radiation from the sun. But I can feel its warmth. I can see its light. I don't have any knowledge of the intimate workings of the sun. I can't go there. I'm not intimate knowledge about the plasma ball in the sky. But I can tell you about warmth, or the lack of warmth, or the light, or that we should not look at it. There's things that we can say from our experience, and that's what I might liken with the Palamites were doing, is that they were experiencing these energies, these things from God, because of their steep prayer. The argument got so heated that there was actually three different councils in Constantinople. I think the first one was in 1341. There were successive councils. He wrote the famous Triads and many other writings that Palamas wrote in regards to the defense of the hesychast practice. Barlaam was shown to be false, wrong. The council said, no, what Gregory is saying is true. And it's even been said that Barlaam even recanted, but then there are some sources that say that while he recanted, he wanted another opportunity to go against Gregory, but felt that it was not worth the effort. And then he goes back to southern Italy, and he converts to Roman Catholicism, Barlaam does, so steeped in the Western idea of this separation of the spiritual life and theology, where the Eastern Christians would say they are combined. The true theologian is the one who prays. The one who understands God is the one who can pray. The one who can pray is the one who understands things. What does that mean to us? Because I'm not able to train people in the hesychast practice, because I don't know it either. And I'm not a practitioner of it. But all of us probably have a Jesus prayer rope. All of us are encouraged to spend time in silence, 20 to 30 minutes a day. That drives many people nuts, right? Because we can't even be in the house without the TV on, or the radio or something. Silence drives Americans nuts. And some people, however, do crave silence. And it's in that silence, brothers and sisters, where we can learn to be still. Maybe pray the Jesus prayer. And maybe do it one time, maybe in your life, perfectly, where all that's in our minds is the words, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. See, even there I couldn't do it perfectly because I was saying to myself, I hope you have this memorized so that you don't look like a ding-dong up there. Or I might have been looking at the candles or whatever, or thinking what was for lunch. That was not a perfect prayer. But we can strive to have that silence and to recite that prayer. Or we could just say, Lord Jesus. Or we could just say, Jesus, have mercy. Or we could say, have mercy on me, a sinner. We could do any kind of a short, kind of a mantra-type prayer, repeated slowly and with just the intent of being still. And any type of prayer that we can enter into will benefit us. Because prayer is how we commune with God. Maybe we're not going to be hesychast. And I don't think we're called to be that. I don't think we can live in the world and be hesychast. I think you have to go someplace where you can do this for years and years and years, for days upon days upon days, and then experience something about God. And why not? Why does that seem incredible and impossible? And maybe to Barlaam and to other Western theologians, that's just out of bounds or out of the realm of reality. But isn't man made to commune with God? Isn't man, like we just heard in the epistle, what angel has been called to sit on God's right side, but man has? Jesus Christ did not become an angel. He became enfleshed. He became a man. And he showed us in the most perfect way how to commune with the Father. Because what did Jesus do? He also prayed. He fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, and he was hungry. And angels ministered to him after that long period. So even the Son of God, the eternal Logos, the Dabar, the very Word of God, even he has to hone his body, hone his flesh to be in line with God. That's something that's available to all of us. And I would even say, sometimes even just our regular prayers can be a blessing, our morning and evening prayers. And I would encourage you to never skip those. And don't make excuses. And don't be lazy, as I always say to people. Don't be lazy. I say that knowing full well that I'm lazy. But do not neglect your prayers. And do not neglect reading scripture. Do not neglect silence in your house. And it's easier for me because I'm by myself. But even with my children, I can go find silence, or they're silent most of the time anyway. I can be silent. And so can everybody else. Or even just to go somewhere outside and just be silent. And let whatever comes to us sort of resonate and reverberate within us. So we're not Hesychasts. But the second Sunday of Lent said that man can attain to great spiritual heights. And that's what the monastics try to do. They try to live a life secluded from the world so that they can pray. That they can pray in a more intense way. And for many monastics, that is sheer ecstasy. We might look at the monastics and say, why would you do that? Why would you live as a celibate, no husband, no wife, live in a community, you don't get to have a cheeseburger, you know, you don't get to watch the TV shows. I can't even name a show anymore, that's okay. But you know what I'm saying? You can't watch TV, you can't watch Netflix or the MLB package or Hulu. You can't do any of that. Your life is just of austerity. It's just eating very little food, getting very little sleep, and just focused in prayer. Why on earth would anyone want to do that? That's because people who are steeped in that kind of prayer life, in that kind of angelic life, they're actually in ecstasy. They live the angelic life. They look at you and say, how could you live in the world and be distracted with MLB and Hulu and Netflix and all the weird TV shows? How could you live in this world and drive yourself crazy with all the craziness of our society and our world? They look at us in amazement. How on earth could you live like that? Don't you know that there's a better life? There's the angelic life, a life steeped in prayer. That's what they would say to us. And so maybe we should admire them more than we do and say to ourselves, I could, in a small way, learn to pray at a higher level. I could be silent. I could do the Jesus prayer. I could read the Psalms. I could read Scripture. I can just turn off the TV and the internet and whatever else we do to entertain ourselves, and learn to be in silence, and you might come to crave it. You might come to really love it. And then, now we're in a better position to pray on a higher level. And that's what I ask God to strengthen all of us in, is to increase our prayer. Give us power from on high to commune with you, Lord. And so that I may have ecstasy in this world, and that I also may be a witness to you, that people will see the power, not my power, but your power emanating through me, who am trying to practice and trying to live up the angelic life. That's the power we possess, brothers and sisters. Our own salvation and the salvation of others who see the power and the majesty and the edifying results of what a human being can actually look like. It's possible. Gregory Palamas said it was possible. The councils, which ended up becoming known as the Ninth Ecumenical Council, said, yes, it's possible for human beings to commune with the living God in a very powerful way. Amen.